This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. You need that number all day long, especially if you want to get in on quick predicts at the end of the show about 140. So go about your business. Listen to us all day as you're driving around or you're sitting around at work or you're at home. Don't forget to use, your smart speakers. We love that too. Play 92.3 The Fan. That's a big one. If you want to get in, 216-474-0092. Talking a little bit about the Guardians and the Tigers. John Morosi was just with us. And don't forget, the Guardians still have to put their roster in. And there's still some decisions that need to be made. And I was trying to remember where it was. Hoynesy had it in his story today where they just need to turn that roster in tomorrow morning, just a couple hours before the game. So even Detroit, probably the same thing. So they don't have to turn their roster in until tomorrow morning before the game. So maybe we'll hear who they're making active. Maybe we won't. But it doesn't make any sense for them to release it today. They should wait till absolutely the last second. I would think that the guys that are playing know if they're going to be on that 26-man roster. But it is what it is. And we'll get into some of those names here in a second. Your thoughts on John Morosi, what he had to say. I thought the interesting thing was, you know, maybe the days of, you know, whatting all over the AL Central could be over after this year. You know, I still don't think New York, Boston, major markets are always going to look down on the AL Central, with the exception of Chicago, because it's Chicago. But, I mean, we'll see. I wonder if there'll be more respect for the AL Central moving forward. Not that it matters. I mean, respect is earned, and so they've earned it this year.
I mean, the AL East is going to be a bloodbath for a good period of time.
It'll always be.
Exactly. That O's team is on the way up. The Yankees are what they are. I despise them, and I hope that they lose every single game, but they're good at baseball. And, you know, the Red Sox aren't going to be down for too long unless they want to continue to operate like they're the Pirates, in which case, I'm all in. You know, they're more than welcome to cut costs all over the place and all that kind of thing.
I don't know. Do you think deep down they want to move? The White Sox?
Oh, I said the Red Sox.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the White Sox. I thought you said White Sox.
If the Red Sox left Boston. We all need to be fearful because, you know.
You know, they used to say that about the Browns, too. So
But the city of Boston's a little bit more violent than Cleveland is.
I don't know. The Braves left.
The city of Boston's a little bit. I mean, that's a whole city built around the idea of we threw the British out and we'll throw your butt out, too.
The Braves left.
Yeah, but they were replaced. And they were a secondary team too.
Okay, I'm just saying. I didn't mean to say, but I thought you said White Sox. So I'm sorry.
No, I mean I was going through these. Look, the Central is playing better, and the arrow is pointing up on all of these teams. The arrow is pointing up on the Guardians. It's pointing up on the Royals. The only team it's really not is the Twins, and they just canned their general manager. So we'll see where it goes from there. But look, I'm in on the Guards. I think the Guards can win this series. I really do. I think it is going to be close. I think it's going to be a white knuckler the whole way through. But boy, oh boy, I think the Guards can win this one. This is going to be a fun one.
I think we're all looking to see if they go flat or if they're recharged. And I'm not saying that's based on their lineup. I'm saying that based on recent baseball history. As we watch these wildcard teams have such an impact in the playoffs. And, right? Are you with me on that? This is about how teams perform. Like Morosi was saying, you know, it's just, we all know it's a game of habit. It's a game of repetition. It's about doing the same thing over and over every time, 162 days. You know, when you're like going 20 days straight, going 21 days straight, and then you have a day off, that one 24-hour period, it feels like a week. And so, you know, having a week off has got to feel like, you know, having an off season off for this team right now. So, and I know they've tried to, you know, I heard Curtis Danberg saying they've been pumping crowd noise in and trying to do whatever they can to simulate what it's like to try to play during these playoff games. There is no simulation. The only simulation is getting out there on the field and playing during an actual playoff series. You know it as a fan. You know that ballpark has a much different feel during a playoff game or an opening day than it does any other game during the regular season. You know it. And sometimes players haven't experienced that. And let's not forget, you know, when they opened the ballpark in 95 and, you know, thinking about what it was like for those guys, all those great players still were a little overwhelmed by the moment because it was the playoffs. Hopefully quickly that goes by fast.
So it was cool. Our buddy Travis Sawchek was on the X and having a conversation with, just kind of threw a tweet out there saying the Guardians are going to have a week between playing an opponent on the field, longest stretch since February. This is an issue to some extent, but for all the bye teams we saw last year, of course, the teams that had the bye are 3-8 to this point. That's where John Morosi was saying, hey, like, let's get a little bit bigger of a sample before we jump too far into the pool on the bye may not be good. Again, we've only had
good for teams that had successful regular seasons.
Correct.
Yeah.
Is it good for teams in the playoffs? The cool thing was, so Clint Hurdle ended up tweeting back at him and say it didn't work out well for us in 2007. He was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates back then. 8 days after 2 days of not playing, your skin starts to crawl.
Yep.
So Sawchek asked him, what would you do for the long break? And again, you can find this on Travis Sawchek's X page if you want. Really haven't given it much thought. We had real scrimmages, live pitches, umpires. We pumped in crowd noise. Nothing comes close for the adrenaline rush. Probably make a road trip to an instructional league and play someone else for a couple of games. That's what Clint Hurdle responded back to Travis Sawchek with. I thought that was really cool.
I'm wondering how much that's going to help, you know, what they've been able to do. There's nothing else they can do. You know, you saw they called up you know, a lot of AAA guys to come on up here just to kind of fill out some rosters so that they could play full games. I look at this and we'll find out real quick tomorrow. That's all there is to it. You know, it's in the NBA, we talk about this rust. Remember how you would sit and watch the Cavaliers have to sit out, you know, for 5, 6, 7 days before they got to their next opponent because they were able to sweep whoever they were playing pretty quick or win in 5 games. And so in baseball, it feels like it's a little bit different, but he's right. That there's a little bit of a change there. What else did you get out of John Morosi?
I think the big one I got out of him, too, is that he's a guards believer. I mean, he came out and said, hey, you've got a professional in Jose Ramirez. The big thing with this series is going to be the fact that you're going to see Scooble. If it goes 5, you're probably going to see him twice. If you can keep it shorter than that, you're going to see Tarek Scooble in game 2. And then after that, I mean, it's... The great line A.J. Hinch had before the Astro series, he says it's going to be Scooble and then it's going to be chaos. He called it pitching chaos.
Right.
And pitching chaos seemed to work well for them going up against the Astros. Now, again, that was a 3-game series. They only played 2 of those. So you only had 1 bullpen game. So I wonder what this looks like going into the series because the Tiger bullpen in the last month has been awesome. But the Guardian bullpen for the last year has been awesome. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup to keep an eye on. Is okay, so you're going to see a lot of the bullpen of a team that you've played. I think they're up to, 14 times a year now? 13 times a year? It's somewhere in between 13, that. It used to be 17.
Yeah, the Guardians won the season series with 7-6.
Yeah, so 13 times.
Yeah.
So that bullpen, you got a healthy Riley Green for the Tigers, who's been playing his butt off this season, has been one of the better players in baseball. I like the guards in this matchup, man. They just, like, you've got to win game 1 because Scooble in game two is going to be an uphill battle. And if you already have one in your pocket before seeing Scooble, you feel better. At least that's how I look at it. I mean, look, it's baseball. You know, you could walk out there and just not have it that day, and all of a sudden I sound stupid. So, but yeah, I would like to have game one in my pocket before having to see Scooble in game two.
I'm just wondering what these games are going to look like run-wise. Like, I don't you feel like these are going to be all low-scoring games?
3-2s, 4-2, 4-3 is kind of what I'm thinking.
It is weird, though. The Tigers have been able to – I'm just looking at, like, their last month of play and how many times they were able to put more than five runs on the board. Probably, I don't know, 15 to 20% of the time they've been able to do that. I'm just eyeing that up real quick, you know, like – put seven up on Tampa.
I mean, Parker Meadows has has been on a serious hot streak for the Tigers. But on top of that, I mean, Parker Meadows sounds like a board game company, but like, let's be honest, the guy's been on a hot streak of late. So those are the kind of guys in the playoffs that come back and kind of haunt you, are the ones that are like, okay, they get on this hot streak and they just carry it over. And hopefully the guards, it could be Jose Ramirez. Hopefully you get April, May, June, Stephen Kwan. Hopefully that guy shows up who is just a menace on the base pass, finds himself standing on first base, maybe not hitting 400. Be great if he did, but find your way onto first base. Same thing, a good Josh Naylor who isn't chasing, Josh Naylor who's patient at the dish, and you just need one to two other guys to catch a hot streak. And that's how you start making these deep playoff runs, is you just need, like, you need three guys hitting well. You need three guys who are going to give you really good at-bats. Maybe four guys who are going to give you really good at-bats and aren't automatic outs. And that's how you make these runs.
All right, I want to throw this at you too again, because we talked about how the Guardians don't have to have the roster in until tomorrow. Just a couple hours before the game. I'm just curious who's on the roster, who's not, because they do have a lot of guys that are bubble guys that you could utilize on a playoff roster. And so I'm just going to throw a couple names on you. Schneeman, I feel like, you know, Jeff does this all the time. Schneeman, Freeman, and Martinez or Arias. Like, when you look at those guys, especially outfield, you put Noel in there, and you also could put Miles Straw in there for guys that could play outfield. What does that look like for you outside of the starters? Because those are all guys that would come in late.
I would put Straw in there as a pinch runner defensive outfield replacement.
I want Straw on the roster.
I don't want him getting at bats, but like, so forever and a half ago, for those of you baseball nerds, you'll remember this. Remember Jerod Dyson? Like, Jerod Dyson found his way onto like six different playoff rosters just for the role of running fast and playing center field. That's what I want Miles Straw for. Just
no relation
run fast,
to
play center field.
No relation to Michael Jackson, the wide receiver, right? Dyson Jackson. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that whole name change thing. Why do silly things like that stick in my mind?
Because that's what makes sports the best.
Yeah. All right, so of those guys, Straw's got your...
I think Straw's in. I would put Straw on the roster just because I know I can put him in center field. I can put him in right field. And let's say somebody gets on base and I need a little bit more speed, a Josh Naylor later in a game, I could put Miles Straw in there as a pinch runner. Like, that's where I like having a guy like Straw. Because it's like, okay, I can put you in center field and you can go succeed out there if I need you for defensive replacement, and I can put you in at a pinch running. I just don't want you to have a bat. In fact, don't even bring one. Leave the bat in AAA.
I'm looking at some of the other pitching prospects we could do. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Because, I mean, look, even Tristan McKenzie or Carlos Carrasco could be on the roster tomorrow morning. I mean, those names are there. I'm not saying they're going to be there, but they could be there, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. I do want to talk about the Browns when we come back, and we've spent a lot of time talking about the offense and the struggles of the offense. I'm curious how you feel about the defense right now, because we started into a conversation the other day where I'm not disenchanted by the Browns defense. I'm not. And there are plenty of folks that just don't like that the front four for the Browns right now, and I'm just shaking my head for like 2 days since we had that conversation. I want to jump back into that too. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Hugh Jackson, baby! Hugh was in Cincinnati, then Cleveland. Now Tito was in Cleveland, now Cincinnati. Coach Francona, or does he mean to say Francola? Stepanski? I don't know if that's true or not.
Write it down.
Coach Francona, I'll say, must be a Hugh man. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Keep Bob in Fairview.
Did we? I think we told the Hugh Jackson story on the air, right?
Which one?
The one where he was bothering me on that Sunday?
No.
Did we tell that story?
I don't remember this. Well, please share.
Now I have to tell the story. All right. So when, oh gosh, it had to have been 2 or 3 years ago, we had Hugh Jackson on the show. And a local reporter listened to the interview and wrote a response column to it. Great local reporter, one of our favorite people.
You gonna say his name or you're gonna give him
no?
Okay.
No, because I don't want anybody coming at him.
Okay.
Wrote a piece about it.
Yeah.
Kind of response to it, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday morning. I, being an adult, was doing what every good adult does, which was eating a bowl of cereal, drinking a cup of coffee, and watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, that's what most adults do.
Because that's what adults do. We eat cereal and
are you hungover at the time?
Watch Raiders. No, okay. No, not in the slightest. I just turned the TV on and Raiders was on. I was like, oh, sweet. The boulder's coming down. I'm not leaving this. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching Harrison Ford run for his life. And I get a phone call. And I look down and it's Hugh. And I go, oh, God, what is this? Now, mind you, it's like 9 a.m.
Have you talked to Hugh before? Like, did his name pop up or no?
I had it from his number from when he joined the show.
Okay.
And he goes, I just read a scathing article that was written about me by so-and-so. And I went, okay, I I'm sorry to hear that, man. I don't know what to tell you. And he goes, do you, I want the number of your program director for this. I want the number of his editor for this. I want, he was on a rampage.
Why would he be mad at us for a newspaper article that he wasn't mad about the interview he did with Jeff and I, right?
No, he wasn't mad about that one.
We let him talk.
But he was infuriated. And you guys did a really good job with that. I think that interview is still out there. You can find it at 92.3 The Fan if you can. I must say, and it's not because you're sitting in front of me, you guys did a really good job with you. And so
we try to be fair. I mean, I know that that's not always the MO of most talk shows, but we try to be fair.
And so he's going off, and I go, all right, here's this. I go, let me do some digging. I'll see what I can find for you, and I'll let you know where it is, because I'm Midwestern, and that's how we operate.
Right.
And so I fire a text to said reporter.
That's borderline Canadian, too, by the way.
Said reporter, hey, oh, by the way, Hugh Jackson's grumpy about your column. And he goes, okay, fine. And he goes, he wants to talk to you, and he'd like to talk to the editor. And he goes, here's my private email. Please give this to him. Here's the editor. Please talk. Here's this one, too. We'll meet and talk with him at any point. I don't think I said anything that darning. And so I said, okay. And I said that back to Hugh. Hugh goes back and, thank you. This is a disgrace. Blah, 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 you know, and via text. And I'm like, okay, like it's all good, dude. Like, here it is. Here's everything that you're looking for. Take care of it from there. Fast forward about 2 weeks. I fire said reporter a text. Just, hey, wondering for the sake of my own sanity, did he ever get a hold of you? I get a message back that says he hasn't sent.
He just wanted to yell at you?
Apparently he just wanted to yell at me, and I haven't heard from you since.
Can we book him on the show next week?
I don't know. I could see.
See what he's up
maybe,
to.
Maybe he's still mad at me. Maybe he's not. I don't know. Maybe I'll find another Indiana Jones movie I can watch and he can ruin.
Hugh Jackson's there, baby.
Just wanted to watch Raiders, man. That was it. I just wanted to watch. I wanted to watch the man say, snakes. Why does it have to be snakes? That's all I wanted. And no, instead I'm dealing with Hugh Jackson yelling at me.
Let me take one phone call. Then I'm going to hop on the Browns here in a second. Frank is in Kent. Is this the Frank?
How are you, Frank?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, Frank?
Your screener asked me if I was really Nick or somebody in Akron.
Well, we've had like three people that sound just like you over the last week, so it's they're touching on your credibility, my man.
They're defaming me and my sports expertise, I guess.
All I know is you always pass the test when I have intricate questions that or intimate knowledge of. Being around Kent, you always have the correct answer. So you have passed my test, Frank. I just want you to know, for me, you are a friend of the show.
Well, that's a pleasure to hear. And the poobah hasn't run in there, so he's not accusing me of being...
He thought you were Lima. The poobah no longer with us. Now in Atlanta, he took off. By the way, I want to thank everyone that... because Poobah's real name is Andy, I want to thank everyone that was concerned that texted my wife yesterday to think that we were moving... Here's what I get last night. I was at dinner with Tropical Storm and my wife last night, and she's like, did you tell people we were moving on the air yesterday? I was like, no, why would I say that? She goes, I started getting all these texts about people saying, hey, I didn't know you were moving. And that is why, probably one of the biggest reasons why the word poobah exists about him in the first place. I already miss him, but because we have the same name, sometimes it gets confusing when you're listening on the air. So just to get it straight, I know there were a lot of people that were excited that I would no longer be on from 10 to 2 is what they originally thought. Unfortunately, you are stuck with me. And it was Andy Roth, who former market manager, who's now in Atlanta, that is moving to Atlanta. So thank you, Frank, for giving me the opportunity to clear that up. Do you have a thought, my friend? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, why did he leave?
Oh, he's going to Atlanta, bigger market. Come on, man. He did a great job while he was here.
He was the best.
Yes.
Who's running the show now, Anthony? Are you taking
You know what?
Over
I'm going to run this. I'm telling you, for the rest of this phone call, I am running this station.
I want to say about Terry. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
I always suspected from the start, despite his health situation, that he was getting pressure from the front office. And I don't think there's any other explanation that he had such an affinity for the team and the city than to go to, where they dumped Bell after all these years and lousy seasons. Well, what were they dumping him now for? So... I think you can't blame the front office. They hired a manager who got them to the playoffs.
Right. If Stephen Vogt would have been a failure this season, I could see being upset. But it's not. Everybody won in this scenario right now. I think as of today, everybody's won. Frank, have a good weekend. Thank you. Let's go to Chuck, who's in Hudson, home of the Explorers. Hi, Chuck.
All right, Chuck.
Yo. Madigan, I think that Hugh Jackson story just proves that you should become a therapist, man, because if you were able to calm him down and he didn't make any other phone calls, you must have said something right.
I don't know if he did. He may have, he may not have, but I know that said reporter never received an email from him, and I also know that I missed the part of Raiders of the Lost Ark with the snakes, and I'm still not over it.
He's bitter.
You can rewind it.
All right, Chuck, thank you. I don't even know who they played.
But it just hit well at that moment. I was really excited. Snakes. Why does it have to be snakes?
All right, let's talk about the Browns defense, my friend. Midweek, I started getting an argument. Like, I wasn't so upset with the Browns defense as I was the Browns offense on Sunday. And, you know, and I'll be worse. I'll be a total parent on this. Upset really isn't really the word. I'm just disappointed. Did I just guilt the Browns offense into playing better this week? I don't know if I did or not.
I love that.
I'm just disappointed.
I'm not mad. I really don't
want to take away their allowance, although I could use $230 million. I'm not going to take away their allowance, but I'm just disappointed. So, you know, we started digging into some of the Browns' defensive numbers because there were folks by midweek that were like, they're ready to blame everybody. I mean, everybody. And, you know, people want to – the Browns' defense, while we expect it to be better than it was because they put up magnificent numbers last year – they're above middle of the road right now. In total defense, they're 11th.
Yeah,
they're under 300 yards a game, and there's only 11 teams in the NFL that are under 300. Now, would it be nice if they were under 250? Yeah, that'd be great, but that would make them the Titans because there's only one team that's under 250. Everybody else in that range between 2 and 11 is 299 where the Browns are, and the Broncos are sitting at 256. So you dove into some other numbers there too, Dan.
Yeah, if you look at all the nerd stuff, it'll pretty much tell you that this defense is league average. It's about average, little above average, you know, whichever direction you want to look. You look at your EPAs, your success rates, all that kind of stuff. They're league average. And that kind of feels right, doesn't it? League average feels about right. And I'm not going to lose it over league average or anything like that. But this was my big question coming into the season, is what happens to the Browns if the defense goes from being all world to top 10, like somewhere between 8 and 12, somewhere between there, what happens? And we're kind of seeing it. And, like, it's not in a way that we should all be yelling and screaming and getting grumpy about the defense. It's in a way that, like, this happens to every defense.
Let's just say they cut 4 yards per game down, right? If they can just cut 4 yards per game down offense or defensively, They're a top 10 defense in the NFL. They're sitting at 9. You know, you go a little bit deeper than that, maybe you cut 20 yards off a game if they can do that. Wow, look at that. Now you're in the 270s and you're now a top 6 defense. I mean, that's how close the margin of error is on what these defenses look like. The Titans have been the team so far. You know, they've only allowed 243 yards per game. So I'm not down on the defense.
Nor am I. I'm not down on the defense. I don't think you really can be. There, of course, are there some things you'd like to clean up? Yeah, sure. Every defense will tell you that. Even the 85 Bears, I'm sure if you've got Mike Ditka looking at you right now, he'd probably be like, well, you know, our linebacker play could be a little bit better. Like, there would be something like that that would come out of it. But, like, I look at this Browns defense, and yes, I wish I could get to the quarterback maybe a little bit more. Now, Myles Garrett being banged up may have something to do with that. You wish you had Jordan Hicks out there for a little bit more than you have, but, like, I can't scream and yell at the defense of this team. Do they need to pick it up in certain areas? Sure. Is it because the expectations are just so high to begin with because Jim Schwartz's defense was so good last year? Yes. Is it also because the offense is scuffling a little bit? You bet.
How much time are they spending on the field? I think that's part of it. Yeah, they're 20th in the league. Rush defense at 123.3 per game, and they've given up 5 touchdowns on the ground. In the air, they've been, they've been decent. You know, yeah. They haven't been bad. They're 10th in the league defensively. They've only given up 3 passing touchdowns, and they average about 175 per game in passing yards allowed. There seems to be plays where you're like, can they please make a tackle? I know. Those are the plays that stand out in your mind, and you're like, how did that happen? Or why can't we get to the quarterback more often? What's going on here? I also remind you, Myles Garrett is still on a pitch count. I mean, how many times have we seen him on the sidelines, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Their third down defense is ranked 7th in the league right now at 30.6. To me, I was kind of shocked by that. But then again, our third down offense is so bad right now that we just don't notice some of these things. You know what I'm saying? Like, the defense has plenty of room to grow forward, but I'm not in a position to sit here and start ripping the Browns defense right now.
I mean, do you want the third down number? It's probably going to make you want to barf.
On offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
They're 11 of 53.
Excuse me.
For 20.8%. Yeah, make you.
It's not good. All right, let's come back. Practice. I'll talk about this with you. You want to talk about the defense? I'm all in on you. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Also, Menigan has a quandary. And is it an age-defining quandary? What is it? You'll find out next. 216-474-0092. I could sit and just watch reels all day or whatever they on Instagram and all that stuff. There's one right now, and I saw it last night for the first time. Cardell Jones did it. They put together like their all-time Ohio State offense, and it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and then maybe defense. And it's really interesting to see how time changes what people say on this thing. I at some point, I want to do that. I'm not going to do it today. Maybe we'll ask Tim May about it later. But it's an interesting little test, sports test, especially for Buckeye fans. I mean, there have been so many great wide receivers. Quarterback's an interesting one. Running back is a slam dunk easy one for me. I don't have any problem figuring on that one. But and then there were, you know, all those silver bullet defenses you got to pick by the year there. So I was just watching. There's like 5 or 6, and it's always that I've seen out there that they're all people that you kind of respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to hear what they would say, but I they're definitely time tainted. They're time, and I'm sure that mine are time tainted too. Like maybe Hop Cassidy should be there, but I didn't really watch him. I did watch him coach the Clippers when I used to work in Columbus, but maybe Hop Cassidy belongs in there. I don't know, but I'm just looking at some of those other things. You brought up a really interesting question in the morning meeting this morning, so I wanted to get to that just to kind of take a tiny little break from. From Browns defense and offense and what we've been talking about with Terry Francona and a little bit of baseball.
All right, so it's my dad's birthday over the weekend.
Oh, good.
So
happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dad. And so...
You know, that's interesting. It would have been... When is it?
6th.
Oh, you know what?
Really?
My dad's birthday was the 6th, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
That's a small world. That's really cool.
All right.
Anyway, so he picked a restaurant that he wanted to go for dinner. We had never been there before.
In Cleveland.
We'd never been there before. And so I wonder if this is a generational thing because I just went, oh, okay, if he says it's good, I'm sure there's something there I'll eat because I'll eat anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not exactly a picky eater. The lady friend grabbed her phone and immediately Googled the menu of said restaurant so that she could look at it beforehand and start like contemplating what to eat. Is this a thing people do? Is this normal and am I the weirdo for the fact that I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll find something?
I think it's make or break for a lot of people when they go out to eat. Because if they'll say, now, look, you had already committed, though, because your dad, it was his birthday, was going to get to pick the place, right?
Yeah, and we weren't getting out of this one.
All right, so, but I think a lot of times people will look at the menu before they go to see if there's anything they want to eat on that menu. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to pick what they're eating at said restaurant, but they want to see if there's something, because if you go over on the menu online, you're not going there.
How many menus are you really going over on? Like, you kind of know what the
there's
name of
the... There's a lot. Like, some people don't like seafood, you know?
Right. But usually, if you got a seafood restaurant, there's usually a chicken or a steak or something like that along the way that you can go make it work. I'm not trying to be
salad
dark.
Is the other one. That's like, always like, yeah. Oh, well, I'll get it. Going to a restaurant to get a salad does nothing for me, by the way. Just so you know that. That's
it's got
to
be an all-world salad. Yeah, it's got to be something that's just blow your socks off salad. Like, they're growing the lettuce in the back type of thing, so you feel like you have to try it. But... I just don't.
So you're saying, do you think it's a generational thing that people...
Yeah, I wonder, like, is this generational? Like, is this like my generation, you know, immediately grabs it and goes, okay, hang on, I got to start taking a look so I can see what's
on the menu? No, we do it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, we do it. Okay. My wife all the time does that. And I do it too. Like, if she says somewhere where I'm not used to or it's a name of a restaurant that I'm not familiar with, basically, if you don't have a steak or a burger on the menu, I'm probably not going there anyway, but or chicken. But, you know, it's like, okay. And so she'll always look. She'll be like, oh, let me look at the menu first. And then she's like, okay, I can get that. And that's how we end up going there. The worst is when you say, hey, I'm hungry. And I don't know any couples that don't go through this, right? Hey, you know what? Let's not cook tonight. Let's just go out. Let's go out and just let's take a break.
There's nothing worse than when two people look at each other and go, I'm hungry. What do you want to eat?
I don't know. What do you want?
That's the worst.
I've literally said before, you can have anything you want within reason, right? Like we're not hopping in the car to go to Vermilion to Chez Francois. I'll be honest with you. Like every day. Like that place is off the hook. Like it's the only place that I'll sit here and say, like, that is like one of the best restaurants I've ever been to in my life. But you know, and trying to drive all the way from Cleveland up there isn't exactly a day trip, or it is a day trip. So, but it's a conversation where you're like, hey, what do you want to eat? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, no, really, you can pick pretty much any restaurant on whatever side of town we're on, right? Where do you want to go? I don't know. You pick. No, you pick. I don't know if that's just, is that, that's not generational, is it? But I think that's true. At every generation, nobody wants to pick the place to go.
Well, I think that's,
nobody, so you don't want to be the person that has to pick the meal.
You're really good.
And then you can complain about it when they're like, well, you wanted to go here.
Well, I don't know if it's that one as much as it's like, you don't want to be that guy. Like, because our problem is we'll throw out seven places. And then you're like sitting there going, well, you know, that sounds good. But then that also sounds good. And then this sounds good. And then, and you kind of need somebody to just go, we're eating this. This was the first thing that was thrown out. We're going here.
Yeah, I would say the majority of the time, it's always the first place that you end up going to.
Yeah, because it's the first one that popped into your head. So our friend of the show, Brian Shaw, sends this in. He goes, my wife always plans her meal to a new restaurant, but if it's somewhere you go a bunch, you know,
right,
you don't do it as much. Agreed. Like, if you go there a bunch, you kind of know it, but if it's a new place, she's like, she always pre-plans the meal. That's fascinating, because I always just walk in, grab the menu, go, I'll find something. I'm fine. Food is food.
But you think it's generational. I don't think so at all.
Okay, so you think it's
I think it's... I don't know if the pandemic changed all of us, too. That was another thing, you know, because, you know, during the pandemic, everybody was eating... Everyone was pretty much eating at home, and then we saw all the restaurants were really struggling, and then it was like, no, let's support the restaurant. Let me just say, if you're half-priced bottle of wine, we're in. That's the easiest way to get to the Baskins. I don't drink wine, by the way.
That's a good happy hour, too. RX mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads like Bovey does here. It says, my fiance won't even talk to me on the drive to the restaurant because she's too busy checking the menu for what she wants to eat.
Here's the problem, right? You're checking the menu on the way to eat, and then you get there, and you know whoever comes over to say, can we take your order, please? I need a minute. Wait a minute, you just spent 20 minutes in the car looking at the menu.
Well, you get the specials thrown at you, you know? You got to look at those specials. Anyway, Mr. Hody, the floor is yours as you raise your hand.
Oh, this will be interesting.
I think part of the entire experience of going out to eat is to get there, get the menu, look at it for an extended period of time, and then order, and then you have a whole thing going on, especially if you're on a date or spending time with family. It's about spending quality time.
Let me tell you, if you're with family and you have kids, we're hating what you just said, because you want to be able to pick the stuff that your kids are going to eat too, right?
I've gone out with family before.
Otherwise, that's a half hour
time.
Extra you're spending at the restaurant.
I feel like quality Seinfeld time. I think we're getting Seinfeld over here.
Why you?
Just the way Newman? They presented it feels very, very, very
quality
Seinfeld.
Time.
Yeah, like what? Well, what's the deal? You go to the restaurant. They give you the menu. And then you're like, I feel like we're getting Seinfeld.
And by the way, somebody who's worked in the food business, not that you ever want to rush anybody to eat, but what's important if you own a restaurant?
Time and efficiency.
Turn the table, right? You want to turn the table if you've got people waiting to eat.
That is true. That is true.
Yes.
For the restaurant.
Yeah.
But I think for the experience of the customer should want to stay as long as possible.
I got to tell you, there's nothing worse than being someone who's waiting to sit somewhere to go eat something, and you see people sitting there, and their food's done, they had dessert, they've been there. Like, and the most aggravating one is breakfast. Like when you go to breakfast and you see people that went there for breakfast, they ate their breakfast, like no one's eating. There's like 15 people at the table. They've been done eating for like 20 minutes and they're just, they put a mortgage down on the table and they're just going to sit there as long as they possibly can. Like I get antsy when I see that. I'm like, and then obviously that sometimes they'll come over, whoever's going to seat you, the hostess or, the hostess or the host is going to come over and go, hey, I think we've got a table that's going to open up here in a second. You get it. You're like, okay, cool. It's our turn. Right. And then all of a sudden you just see those people sit there and they just, there's no consideration for anybody else who's there. Is this a pet peeve too or no? I don't know how I got off on this tangent.
I don't know either. All right. So to swing this back to sports for one quick second, you said something in the break because I brought up the ticket prices when it comes to the wild card game and all that stuff that are finding their way out. And I said, oh my gosh, can you believe they're charging X? Can you please say what you said in the back?
I said, I don't think the Guardians have any say in what the prices are. That Major League Baseball sets the rule on what ticket prices are for this.
Yes. I think that needs to be said every so often, that Major League Baseball is the one who is setting prices. So if you're mad and thinking that you're getting price gouged by the Guardians, it's not the guards. It's Major League Baseball. They're cashing in on all this stuff because I've seen the numbers being thrown about for standing room only tickets and that stuff and people going, oh man, that's bad.
What's standing room going for?
I saw $80.
$80 for standing room. That's face value?
I believe that's face, yes.
Wow. Yeah, I got to tell you what the biggest turn of events on tickets was the Browns Raiders game last week. When those tickets first came out, it was like $800. I was seeing all these people going, I want to go. I want to do this. I want to go to the game. And then I talked to somebody just this morning that went to the game, and they were like, I think people were getting in for like less than $80 a ticket in Vegas to go watch that Browns Raiders game last week. So those prices were sky high when the schedule came out. And then by the time the game rolled around, tickets went flat on that. Hang on a second. Here's Jim in Strongsville, super friend of the show. Hi, Jim. How are you?
What's happening, Jim?
Hey, guys. First off, you don't try any new restaurant unless somebody you really trust highly recommends it.
Not true. Not true. We do it all the time.
You know what? There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and having it be awful. And then you're like, oh, we could have gone somewhere that we know we like. Instead, we tried something new, it was horrible, and it ruins your night.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Jim. Because we do this too. As much as we'll read a menu before we go in, we're also reading reviews. And if the reviews are, if there's an overwhelming abundance of bad reviews, we're out. So I'll agree with you a little bit on that, Jim.
I mean, I only go to two places, so I really can't talk that. But also, you take your time to order. You know why you take your time to order? You want to have some cocktails. It's about getting some drinks in you, talking to the family. And guess what? The bars or the restaurants, they love that you're ordering drinks. That's where they make a lot of money. So now you sit down, you enjoy your family. You don't order right away. You get at least that first beer in you. Then maybe you start ordering. You don't want to be in and out. If you want fast food, go to a fast food place.
Oh, that's not true.
Jim, I want you to know right now, concerning everything that you just said, made Hody do a Soul Train dance that I'll never get out of my head.
James in Middlefield. I can think of a barbecue place out by you that's pretty good. Okay, James, what do you got?
All right, James.
Okay. I think, I don't know. So when I get, if someone gets a small order and their food comes before mine comes, cool. All right. Chilling. If someone loads up and then their, party of eight gets food before I do, I'm sorry. That's a 10% tip. I'm not tipping 20% off that. Like, we got here first, dude.
But is that the server's fault if the food didn't come out quickly?
No, it's not. No. Oh, dude, I'm a cook, actually. Okay. But that's it. It's on the way back. And so if you're a good cook, it's a party in the
It's
back,
about teamwork. Okay. It's about teamwork, isn't it?
Teamwork.
And they better tip you out at the end of the night, right? I mean, that's the way to do it.
I mean, it depends on where you work and all that. But, like, no, it's like, dude, if you go to a place, right? Okay.
I got about 30 seconds. Go ahead,
Jim. Close your eyes.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Closing.
Right. You're in a place. You just ordered. You just sat down. Table of four. It's you. I know you got
kids. It's my family. Family of four. Good. We're good. Keep going.
Did I guess it? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Baskin. I get you confused with Nick. I'm sorry. So, all right.
It's okay.
You just ordered. And then people rock in with the eight crew.
Yeah.
And they're high-fiving, right?
Yeah.
They're high-fiving the servers and all that.
Oh.
And it's, oh, what's up, dude? Yeah, see ya. Yeah. All that. And then, like, they get their
food first, man. They VIP'd you. Yep, I see it. I know it. I'll roll, man.
So what we do, I'm sorry, I'm just raised polite like this, but, like, dude, that's a 10% tip, so I see that.
There 10%. You go. All right, James, respect the knowledge. I think it's magic when all the food comes out hot at the same time. It's truly a special moment when you're eating, and they get the food out perfect. Like salad's got to come out before the main course, okay? Now we're smarter, and you know what? We're going to be smarter about baseball when we come back. Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, next. And Two Keys and a Lock coming up in the next hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.